This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning and welcome to South Dakota Department of Health Media Briefing. Just as a quick reminder, I'm going to ask you all to mute your lines. Today we are going to bring you the latest COVID-19 related numbers and distribution efforts. Joining us today is Secretary of Health Kim Olsen-Reisen, State Epidemiologist Dr. Josh Clayton, and South Dakota Department of Health Communications Director Daniel Buccielli. At this time, we will turn it over to Daniel Buccielli, Communication Director for South Dakota Department of Health, for the latest COVID-19 data.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining today's conference call. Empowering our citizens with accurate and updated information better allows them to make decisions for themselves, their family, and their businesses. South Dakota Department of Health has thrived on bringing South Dakotans and members of the media the most up-to-date health information as it becomes available. To that end, here's the latest statewide COVID-19 information as of this morning. New confirmed cases, 304. New probable cases, 148. Active infections, 4,762. Recovered cases, 97,829. Currently hospitalized, 253. Total tests performed, 816,328. The total persons tested are 387,299, with 104,195 positive cases and 283,104 negative cases. We're currently reporting the RT-PCR positivity rate, since that measure is being used by the CDC as well as CMS for nursing home and long-term care facilities reopening plans. That last seven-day number as of this morning is 11.7%. Additionally, 47,952 doses have been administered to 39,954 people. South Dakota remains among those leading in this effort nationwide. All this data can be found on our COVID-19 dashboard, which can be found at doh.sd.gov. And as a reminder, the data reported on the dashboard is considered provisional and updated as new data becomes available. I will turn it over to our state epidemiologist, Dr. Joshua Clayton.
All right. Thank you, Daniel, and thank you for the numbers update. Today, I'd just like to cover just a little bit of perspective. So the burden of COVID-19 within the United States is still very high. There are more than 243,000 cases that are being reported per day, and is 3,000 deaths per day based on the data reported to CDC as of last week. In South Dakota, as a comparison, we have seen about 400 cases per day and about 10 deaths per day over the past week, which is down significantly from our peak, which was during the week of November 9th through the 15th, when we were seeing over 1,400 cases per day and over 15 deaths per day. The Department of Health is requesting, due to those numbers that are occurring in the U.S. and in South Dakota, that everyone continue to monitor your health. Stay home when you're sick, avoid crowds and physically distance when possible, wear a mask when distancing is not possible, and practice good cough and hand hygiene. Well, one of the other updates that I'd like to mention is just around the COVID-19 variants. So the South Dakota Department of Health is collaborating with CDC to identify the UK variant, as well as South African variant, and any new variants of COVID-19 that may exist. As of Monday, there have been 10 states that have identified the UK variant, and this does include the surrounding state of Minnesota. The UK variant has not been identified in South Dakota, and we continue to conduct surveillance. The last update that I'd like to mention is regarding the dashboard update for today. So the dashboard does provide, on a daily basis, the latest information that we have available on COVID-19. And so today's update is focused on the vaccine tab. You'll be able to see a new item showing the current priority groups that are being vaccinated. As part of the Phase 1 COVID-19 vaccination plan created by the South Dakota Department of Health. So now I will turn it over to Secretary of Health, Kim Olsen-Reisen.
Thank you, Dr. Clayton, for that update, and thank you to everybody who's joining us this morning. I'd like to recap some items that I think will be of interest to folks, specifically about vaccination efforts so far. So since our last call, which was 1 week ago, over 39,954 South Dakotans have received the COVID-19 vaccine in our state, and 7,998 residents have completed the full two-dose vaccination process. So this is up from where last week we had 100 people that had completed the two-dose series. So we are definitely making significant progress. As a reminder, 25,022 of those doses have been from the Pfizer company, and 22,933 doses of the Moderna vaccine have been provided. As Governor Noe mentioned in her State of the State address yesterday, our state does remain among the top of states when it comes to vaccine distribution and administration. And this really, we think, is due to several different factors. So I'll just mention those again to you folks. First of all, the governor's been very flexible and really charged us with making a plan to vaccinate people in South Dakota. So whereas you might be hearing from some other reports of other states where they're either wasting doses or following a very linear process, we knew from the outset that we would see the need to overlap, in some cases, our population so that we made the best use of the vaccine possible. Certainly, our partnerships with our healthcare community across the state, including our phase one vaccinators, has been tremendous. And they all have very dedicated teams working day in and day out to plan and execute their plans to vaccinate people across the state. We tried very hard to be very transparent about where we're at and where we're going relative to vaccines. And so along with that, I'd like to just mention some other things that you might be hearing around vaccine deployment at the federal level. So what we are hearing here in the past couple of days is that Operation Warp Speed and the Federal Department of Health and Human Services are indicating that they plan to release any doses that they've been holding at the federal level to states with the goal of getting shots in arms. So you might recall that from the beginning, the federal government has been reserving that second dose needed for people to complete the vaccination series and getting that to states kind of consistent with what that vaccination schedule is. And so there's going to be a change in that regard, and we are waiting for final details about exactly what that will look like. But I can assure you that if this happens and when this happens, that we are prepared and ready to mobilize very quickly. Just yesterday, we had a call with all of our phase one vaccinators, and you know, we know that they are actively preparing at the local levels if we are to see a larger increase in our allocation. For next week, we do know that we will be getting about 11,100 doses of vaccine. In terms of where we're at with our priority populations, we think that we will be substantially through the 1C population by then. So you'll note that we're currently vaccinating the 1C group. And between this week's efforts and into next week, we will be ready to segue into that 1B population. So we're excited about that. Now, we do know, obviously, that we will still have a fairly limited allocation to the state. And so, and we also know that the 1B population is quite large. And so we will be focusing, starting next week, on those individuals who are 80 or older, as well as people that are at highest risk of poor health outcomes if they were to contract COVID. So we will be sending out more information. So after this call, please check your emails with more information about this. But relative to that second dose, I do want to reassure all South Dakotans that while the federal government may release all doses that they're currently holding, that we will make sure that there are reserves for that second dose for people who have already received the first dose, or who are in the queue for that, or that the supply chain will, in fact, be adequate to provide that second dose as needed for the schedule. The other information that I'd like to just cover very briefly, again, is the importance of testing. And so, you know, as Dr. Clayton mentioned, we continue to encourage residents to get tested and, you know, please help us get the word out that there are free at-home COVID-19 saliva tests available. People can go to our website to request that test. That testing at home is safe, secure, and fast. We really want people to order their test kit today, have it on hand for when they need it, and know their COVID status. And again, if they're positive, to take the necessary steps to slow the spread.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Secretary and Dr. Clayton. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would please identify yourself, your outlet, or your media outlet, and ask your question. Okay.
Abby Wargo, the Capital Journal.
Go ahead, Abby.
So I just have a question about the COVID protocols for a legislative session. I know that they do have some regulations set up, but it's not consistent among both chambers. So, and obviously with the influx of legislators coming into Pierre and into the Capitol, do you anticipate there being a spike in cases because of legislature? And will those cases count for Hughes County, or will they count in, like, if a legislator were to contract COVID here, would that count for Hughes County, or would that count for the county in which they reside?
So, Abby, to answer your second question first, any COVID cases that would be identified among people just visiting Hughes County or working temporarily in Hughes County would be attributed to the resident county. To your other question, the Legislative Research Council reached out to both the Department of Health and the Bureau of Administration to work on a plan to provide mitigation strategies to make the legislative session safe for individuals to participate in. So there are a number of different actions that will be happening as it pertains to the Bureau of Administration. And for more information, I would suggest that you contact them directly, but they provided several, temperature monitoring systems for people that would be coming into the Capitol so that we can help anybody that might have a fever not enter. They have helped with physical barriers, an enhanced cleaning schedule, and several different strategies to help with the physical environment aspect of mitigating the spread of COVID. From the Department of Health perspective, we have helped with lining up testing resources so that folks have access to regular and as-needed testing. We have also provided several guideline documents for safer operations in the Capitol during this time. So we'll continue to work with the legislature. We're actually doing a presentation for legislators here tomorrow afternoon and providing information about how they can keep themselves safe. And so I think that the plan reflects a lot of different input keep people safe during the legislative session.
Okay.
Next question. What's Dakota News Now?
I heard Dakota News Now.
Jenna, what's Dakota News Now?
Okay. Go ahead.
My question is, how will people know when it's their turn to get the vaccine? Will the healthcare providers contact them via phone, email, or text, or will people have to reach out to them themselves?
Jenna, thank you for asking that question. That's a great question. We actually get that quite frequently. So there are a variety of ways that people will learn about when it's their time to become vaccinated. As we've been working through the first three priority groups, most of that outreach has happened directly from our phase one vaccinator to those populations. As we get into the 1B population, like we just mentioned, there will be some of that direct outreach, especially for those higher-risk individuals that we know because of their healthcare conditions would really benefit from a vaccine, as well as some more public-facing kind of opportunities for the community at large, especially, in this instance, for people that are 80 years of age and older. I would really encourage people to look at the COVID.sc.gov website. We have a map on that website that shows which phase one vaccinator is primarily responsible for each county. And then from there, you will get to those vaccinator websites, and they have several different means of people getting a hold of them than to kind of get in line for a vaccine. So there's a couple of different ways that that will happen, but we really do encourage people to go to the website to learn more about their specific geographic area.
Thank you. Morgan at the Rapid City Journal.
Go ahead, Morgan.
So to double check, those who had their first dose of the vaccine will or won't get their second one in time. And my other question is, for those who haven't gotten their vaccine yet, might they only get one dose in the future, or are they still going to hopefully get the second dose?
So, Morgan, anybody in South Dakota that's received their first dose will get their second dose. And the recommendation for people to receive both doses of vaccine has not changed. And so we fully anticipate that people will get two doses of vaccine. What we're really working on to understand is just that supply chain and that assurance from the Department of Health and Human Services that the second doses will be available to people, because that is a very important aspect of this operation.
Thank you.
Eric Mayer, KLIN News.
Go ahead, Eric.
Thanks. Governor Noem highlighted a couple of COVID treatments yesterday. She didn't really get into any specifics on them. I spoke with the Wagner Community Hospital CEO, and he mentioned it was the BAM treatment therapy, and I know that one was rather new, starting in November. Could either of you kind of speak about how effective this has been and how much it'll be used for going forward?
Sure, Kyle. This is Secretary Malcolm Rice, and I'll start and then turn it over to Dr. Clayton. I would just let everybody know that our providers in South Dakota have embraced therapeutics for COVID. That is a distinction from other states. And so, we recognized early that the potential benefits of these COVID therapeutics and the monoclonal antibody treatments presented much more benefit than potential risk. And I think that has been the experience. And so I'm really proud of our healthcare community in diving in and really getting this, these therapies to their patients. And I've heard anecdotally several stories, particularly among older people, where, it's thought to have been life-saving.
Yep. And this is Dr. Clayton. We know that there are antivirals that are now coming out on the market, and Bamlanivimab, easy to say, is one of those such treatments. And we do anticipate that additional antiviral medications will be made available for therapeutic treatment, in addition to other therapies out there, such as antibody treatment, the monoclonal antibody, high-flow oxygen, and other supportive efforts that either can be done prior to a person having the more severe severe symptoms of COVID-19, which is definitely prior to hospitalization, as well as additional therapies such as positional, how patients are placed, while they're in the hospital, as well, and that high flow oxygen that do have a huge impact in decreasing the length of stay, as well as the overall mortality for patients that do enter the hospital. And so the therapies that are focused on keeping people out of the hospital is definitely one of those areas, and that's the antibiotic therapy antiviral therapy that the governor had mentioned.
Okay. Next question, please. Can we please have the next question? Hearing none, we would like to thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Have a great day, and thank you. Goodbye.